fair amount.
Yeah,
not how about this sound? Can you hear through your headphones?
I don't have anything to chew.
All right.
Well.
So, leaving off from last week.
Here we go. Yeah, last week, making the triumphant return from just 7 days ago back into the podcast world.
Keeping it consistent.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Bet you guys missed us a lot.
By the way, this is the Nick and Nate show, in case you forgot what you're listening to.
It's a half hour of entertainment hour.
Yeah.
None of our episodes are currently available on iTunes.
No.
But this one will be, because that's how you got it, and that's how you're listening.
Because we can't figure out how to make that shit host for free. You got to pay for it, and we seem unwilling to do that.
And, well, it's been a fucking long time. It's basically been just over a year.
Over a year?
Wait, that's inaccurate. Since we started.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
So this is the big year anniversary show.
Yes, this is the 1 year anniversary show. It's our 10th episode.
And do you really have an anniversary if you haven't?
Probably not.
Consistently. Okay.
It's one anniversary. It's a year of us not doing shit and then coming back and trying to do shit.
Because without this show, I literally am incapable and have not done anything else with my life. Oh, basically, it was in hibernation. Cryogenic.
Damn it. So we probably shouldn't talk about anything cool that we've done in the past year.
Or maybe we should, because I think it's already quite apparent that we're ill-prepared for our inaugural, second inaugural show.
Yeah, so we got it off, and we started off on the right foot this time around again.
Edit point.
Well, you went some places.
I did?
Yeah, you went to a lot of places.
Oh, that was this year, huh?
Yeah.
Damn. It's weird. In some ways, how a year can seem like the longest time ever, and then, like, nothing. Like, if I think in terms of, like, Christmas, I feel like Christmas happened 5 days ago. Well, the last Christmas was really quick. But then I think about, I was in Hong Kong. That seems like a lifetime ago. Wow.
Hong Kong. That's pretty gnarly. Not many people go there.
That was all right. Hong Kong is interesting. It's a beautiful place. It's weird. It's totally different there. Like, it feels like the whole place was just built. Like, even driving through a tunnel, it just looks brand new. It's clean. Everything's clean. The roads are freshly paved. The walls are clean. No lights are out. Even though it's busy as shit, you would think it'd be filthy, disgusting. It's way more crowded than any place I've ever been here, New York or anything.
Well, it's so clean because, like, every citizen is responsible for cleaning 1 square foot of land, right? Like, everybody that's born is assigned a new piece of land that they have to clean.
Pretty sure that you just made that up completely.
Oh, I thought that was sort of like a trend.
Actually, supposedly, things like unemployment and overpopulation stuff are so high, there's way more people basically working for the government to keep things like cleanliness up and things like that.
So they hide their homeless.
Oh, yeah. I think they do more. It's more of a facade thing going on where we just let it all hang out in America.
Yeah. They garbage bag them. Throw them in dumpsters.
Probably the most interesting thing was seeing their scaffolding. They have the most elaborate, amazing scaffolding on their buildings. The whole place is still being built up, and everything scaffolding-wise, anything that's a building material that's not part of the building is made out of bamboo.
Jesus, that's awesome.
So you'll just see these giant 50-story bamboo complexes, basically, because there is no building yet.
That's got to be crazy, because I feel like, you know, with a long piece of bamboo that in the wind, it would just be going.
Yeah, but I guess you think about it, bamboo is, like, so durable. You can't break it. Like, you can bow it like crazy, but it
that's
won't break.
Like, you just have to, like, surf on the wind, basically, and then hope that on your backswing you can actually adjust what you're trying to.
They don't really even have stairs to the floors. They just kind of, like,
they climb up.
Hop. Yeah. But I guess the reason is bamboo grows incredibly fast, unbeknownst to me. And so it's, like, the cheapest. It's cheaper than having 2x4s or wood or any other material.
Yeah, that makes sense. I got a piece of bamboo at home.
Yeah?
Still going.
Bamboo tree?
Yeah.
Is that like one of those plants where you just like don't have to do shit?
Pretty much. I filled it with water the other day and I was like, oh God.
That's the reason it's still alive. Going.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was pretty much the highlight of Hong Kong.
And then moving forward, you traveled again.
Yes.
You've pretty much been to like all of Europe.
No, not really. But I was in France, Spain,
Monaco.
In Monaco, maybe some other places. Monaco's insane. It is per capita the richest country in the world. Just everyone there, even though there's probably a population of maybe under 1,000, or not really, but insanely small. I think it's like smaller than, I think the whole country is 3 miles across.
Yeah, some stupid shit like that.
Something like that. You can basically walk from one side of the country to the other. And got to see Prince. And
Prince.
Yeah, wait, what's his name?
Not actually a Prince, or the artist formerly known as.
No, the Prince of Monaco. Which, that was pointless, but his wife, future wife at the time, looking kind of hot.
Babe.
I got a Charlize Theron thing going on.
Nice.
But yeah, the whole country is just built on basically a cliff, the size of a cliff.
Yeah.
And I was there for F1 race, the biggest F1 race in the world. It's pretty crazy.
Wasn't there a gnarly ass wreck too?
Yeah. Some dude came around a corner going, I think it was 170 miles an hour, if not faster. And at that speed, if your car just even touches the rail, it just shatters and obliterates. Like, he came around a turn, and his wheel just grazed the metal curb thing, and his car just ripped apart like it was like a sheet of notebook paper.
Yeah.
And he just flew out of it. And then the whole thing turned sideways, and it was like a Y turn thing where you could kind of go right or to the left, and he went dead center the barrier. And so they had to like stop the race for like 3 hours and airlift him out of there with a crane and all kinds of craziness. But yeah, man, F1 racing is gnarly. You can hear the cars miles and miles and miles away. And I was like right up on it on a boat, actually filming it. And if you don't have like the craziest earplugs in, you will lose your hearing. It's insane.
I believe it.
And pretty much every other car there is like a Ferrari. Fucking people driving around. And a lot of trophy wives. Which is lovely.
That would be epic.
And
it's a badass casino there.
Yes.
You drop it down. High roller, high stakes.
Did not do that because you pretty much have to prove you're a high roller just to even be in that. But you can walk around, but you can't really participate.
Minimum bet is like 10 grand.
Yeah. They don't even let you pull your car up to the place unless it's going to be a badass enough car for them to want to park it out front to show everyone else how awesome the place is. So just like only Ferraris and Rolls Royces and stuff are even allowed to park there, which is kind of stupid.
Yeah, I believe that.
The French just need to like wake the fuck up and dominate that place. They like let them go because of some like agreement about something or other. Back in the day, which we should probably Wikipedia so we don't sound like total ignorant assholes, but it makes no sense why that country even exists, really.
It was the Formula One revolution.
Is that what did it?
Yeah.
Huh.
And money.
And money. I think it's always money. So that's about all I did all year. How about you, sir? I'm going to have another piece of popcorn. Man,
asking me to recount my year. Pretty much hung out, didn't contract an STD.
That's a first.
Yeah. And I don't know.
Wait. You went to Seattle.
Oh, yeah. I did go to Seattle. See, that's like jumping ahead all the way to August, which means I had a very uneventful whatever to August. So went to Seattle with the fam, hung out on some islands. I saw a whale. And I was close to Canada, which I didn't quite care for.
Just the country in general, or the little part you saw, or?
Well, I guess I didn't really see it, unless you're talking about across the water seeing it.
Sure. I am talking about across the water seeing
it. So the answer to your question is yes. And I don't really know what your question was anymore.
Why don't you like Canadians?
Yes. I wish that I had brainstormed shit that I had done. Now I just sound like a toolbox.
I feel like you did. Well, fuck, we did something together.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we made a short film.
We made a short film.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that now.
Not only a short film, a 48-hour short film.
Yeah.
And why don't you break it down for them what that means?
Okay, so there's a contest where you are given, on a Friday night, a prop, a line of dialogue, a character, and a genre. And then you have to go out and make the entire film in 48 hours and submit it on the following Sunday night.
Yeah, so you have to completely come with no preconceived notions. At least that's the spirit of the festival.
Which we adhered to.
And out of the other 50 teams, maybe half did, maybe two-thirds. I don't know. There was definitely people that came with some serious preconceived ideas of what they were going to do and just shoehorned in the requirements.
Yeah, exactly. Just put them in the credits.
But, out of 50 teams, you got to go out and, I mean, if anyone does any kind of production at all, you should realize it's a near feat of superhuman strength to pull off conceiving, writing down, casting, equipment, setting up, shooting, transcoding, editing, mixing.
Yeah, God.
Graphics, all that color, and delivery in 48 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to... Just to give you a visual of how rough it is, I, at the end of the weekend, had the shingles.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Which is something I think mostly only older people get from stressing out their body.
Yep.
And I thought it was some disgusting disease, but come to find out it's basically just chicken pox for adults.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Shingles. But anyway, what was the also, what were the requirements? Or, you know.
Okay, so our genre was suspense / thriller. Character was Tyler Hampton, electrician.
Yeah.
As their occupation. And then the prop was something that we used.
Hairdryer.
Yeah, hairdryer. Yeah, that's what it was. And then what else? What was it? The line of dialogue.
I don't even remember.
From now on, you call the shots.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. I delivered it, and I can remember it.
It's actually funny thinking back now that our genre was suspense thriller. We kind of completely blew it on that one.
Yeah, we... Yeah.
We got a mega pass for that, because ours was basically just
a funny movie. Suspenseful, because you don't know if it's actually going to happen.
Right.
Sort of.
Yeah. From more of a, this is funny because it's happened to me. Not exactly. Oh my God, this is intense.
Yeah. People were shitting their pants waiting to see
if he
pants were going to be.
You don't give it away.
Okay.
We should play it for him.
Yeah.
On the podcast. Okay.
All right. Here we go, guys. Rosebud. What'd you guys think? Anyways, turned out pretty well for us, I'd say. We were literally up against the wall the entire way. Never even watched the full movie the entire way through.
Oh, yeah, there's no time for that.
Before submitting it.
Literally had not even seen it.
So burned it to a DVD. And
which didn't work.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So they had to do it again from the car ride over there.
Yeah, so it was due at like 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. You had to get there and submit it in, like, you know, in person before it actually strikes 7 o'clock. And I think we were exporting the final thing at like 6:30-ish, something like that. And then, you know, that took like 10 minutes or so. And then we had to copy that onto a little flash drive, and that took like 5 minutes, and then of
fucking
course
MS-DOS.
Yeah,
the formatted flash drive goddamn drive
is formatted for DOS, which means you can't put a 2 gigabyte file on it. It will just crash at the very last second before it's completely finished. So that was a waste of 5 minutes. So we had to like have somebody go with a laptop and the flash drive while driving there, transporting it, or, you know, putting it on the flash drive and then running in and turning it in. Luckily, the place was close by.
Which, if you are still working for a company or even personally at your home, which is worse, have a system in which you need something formatted specifically for MS-DOS, you should fucking kill yourself. Why do things come formatted that way?
Yeah, it's stupid.
It literally almost ruined the entire festival for us. If I had gotten shingles and been that fucking tired and not lived my life that weekend, and to get nothing because of that...
Yeah, that would have been bogus.
Microsoft and I would have had some words.
Stupid.
But anyway,
so
got it in there.
Yeah, we did get it in there.
And I feel like we did pretty well.
I feel like we did too.
Second place out of 50 teams. What?
Yeah. Runner up for the whole festival.
Pretty good.
Which we didn't... I didn't see it coming at all.
No, I didn't. Especially as the awards were going on. I just figured... Yeah. They had forgotten about us. Actually, we won like a million awards.
We actually did win kind of a lot of teams. So we knew we were in the best of. But we didn't know what that really meant until we got there and we saw the other films. And then we were like, well, we've got a chance to win something.
Because even in the best of, there was some serious...
There's some dog shit.
...poo fest going on. I mean, I understand it's a daunting task. Making a film in 40 hours, but Jesus Christ. You got no wind to hold 'em. No wind to fold 'em. No Kenny Rogers?
Yeah.
Can we just edit like, in like the real
believe,
song?
Yeah. Take advice from that song.
Do you remember that Kenny Rogers had his own fast food restaurant for a while?
Absolutely not, no.
It was called like, I don't know, Kenny Rogers Steakhouse or whatever, but the tagline was, it's the wood that makes it good.
Why would you even...
I thought that was the funniest thing ever when I was a kid.
What marketing
people... It's the wood that makes it good.
Didn't realize.
I assume they cook things on some kind of open wood fire or something. Yeah. I never went there, being a pussy-ass vegetarian myself, but Kenny Rogers, it's the wood that makes it good.
Yeah, stick to what you know.
Tangent. So now we're out there searching for the next project to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about another 40-hour film festival, man. I know you've done it many times, but that was rough.
It is. It's pretty serious.
So if any of our fabulous audience members are scriptwriters that we didn't know about and have a genius idea that they want to do something with but just can't figure out how to do it on your own, give us a call. Runner-up 40-hour film festival winners are willing to... Take the plunge.
Yeah. And don't submit any of your bullshit pages to us.
We're way too busy for bad ideas.
Yeah. Or you can, and then we're just going to publicly make fun of you. So yeah, that's
we'll
your
call.
We'll
spend an entire podcast reading it and deciphering the
terrible
meanings you must have had behind it all.
Yeah. That would actually, I kind of want somebody to submit to us a terrible script. So that we can read it, like, make the characters, and then realize how fucking terrible it sounds.
Or we could do a radio, like, War of the Worlds radio show where we act it out instead of shooting it.
Yeah, that would be a lot easier, probably.
So if you've written a film or a radio script...
Yeah. Circa 1920s, 30s.
Which, if you did that, then you're fucked in the head. But if you did, now is your outlet that you did not have before.
Yep.
These geniuses will take it on.
So we're also accepting that. It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Well, should we move to some current topics?
Yeah, what guests we got this week?
Marcus is here.
Oh.
To talk to us a little bit.
You think we could get, like, celebrities?
Yes.
I just was trying to think, like, echelon of class that we could probably afford.
Yeah.
And D minus list sounds about right.
Yeah, apparently Eric Estrada... You can pay him, you know, a very minimum amount of money.
There's another fun activity you did last year.
That's
you got
true.
To hang out with Eric Estrada. That's kind of the best thing yet. I think of that.
I don't know, because it honestly did not make that much of an impression for me, unfortunately.
No, it was a life changer.
Yeah, I mean, it was a life changer. Since. Yeah, I've been a completely different person since I shook this guy's hand.
I heard he's just like the sweetest, most genuine, giving guy you could ever possibly hope to meet.
Pretty much the way it breaks down is I have a friend who's connected to this short filmmaker, and this filmmaker paid Eric Estrada, I believe it was $2,500, to come and act in his movie for 2 hours. So I show up, and it's literally just a three-man crew with Eric Estrada. Eric Estrada, like, I'm holding note cards because Eric Estrada requires them on his shoots. And so I'm basically just holding his cue cards and the boom mic.
Wait, are you saying Eric Estrada isn't a legitimate actor?
I'm not, no.
My world is crashing down around me right now.
I mean, maybe just cues. Like, I'm not even sure he really looked at them because they were written, there was like actually written down lines from a script that he barely followed at all. I mean, he pretty much just improvised it. And then the director would be like, well, I thought that, like, you should say this because, like, it's a little bit stronger. And he'd be like, nah, man, it doesn't make sense. My character wouldn't do that. And he was just like, oh.
Does it really matter? Does okay, the film that's, really that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really
dissection
know.
Dissection really know from Eric Estrada.
I'd like to see the finished product, though. I will say that. Anyways, that was a really muggy summer night in June, probably. Something like that.
It's good times.
I sweated a lot.
Sweating a lot right now.
Yeah, I don't
know. I think
know.
I forgot to wear deodorant today. There used to be a time in my life where I didn't need to wear deodorant at all.
I think I've always worn it.
Really?
And I've always
sweated.
I feel
like as a teenager, I just didn't even need it.
Any perspirant is a fucking lie, man.
Yeah.
I sweat through that shit so easily.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
It's bad for you, too. Shit clogs your pores.
Well, yeah, damn it.
With metal.
But...
doesn't work.
But if
you're your hairy motherfucker, they don't make this shit for you. You need like some kind of like
triple action.
Yeah, like hardening with a catalyst wax.
Yeah, like stay dry, and it's like 72 hours of
yeah, like Gorilla Glue needs to like make a product
lift
for
your
you.
Arms because it's so glued down.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I bought this deodorant because it was on sale, and it said trusted by the NBA for 48 hours.
The NBA?
Which, like, they're
do they
fucking,
have, like a committee that stamps on trusted by NBA?
Yeah, the players union or whatever is probably like, do we wear this deodorant and does it help us not sweat?
How much are you going to pay me?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I was like, all right, those guys running up and down the basketball court get sweaty as shit. If they're saying this shit works, I'm in. And it's on sale for cheaper than my normal deodorant. But it's
Wait,
way
the
worse.
NBA guys are worried about the sale price?
No.
Oh, you're saying.
No, I'm just saying that's why I purchased it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can't trust anything with the NBA. That whole organization is totally fucked up right now.
Well, coming from the lockout, that the season just started like a month late because they couldn't agree to terms. So it's going to be
an abridged season. You think there's any correlation between that and the deodorant scandal?
Scandal?
That you have just revealed?
We just uncovered.
This is breaking news.
Ridiculous right guard / NBA scandal. It's outrageous. And we need justice.
Maybe you should trim your armpit here.
I don't remember when the last time I did it was, but I have done it before because it gets
it
a little
never
out of hand.
It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Can you like swing from it if you just let it go?
I mean, you could probably braid it.
Oh, God.
Maybe not that. I mean, maybe not that. You could get small braids out of it.
I just
ate cornrows?
A lot of pirate's
what if you
booty.
Cornrowed it?
I don't want to hear
that'd
that shit.
That'd be fucking weird.
Ugh.
Anyways.
It's gross.
So what about this year? The new year happened. Christmas happened. We're in 2012 now. It's impending doom in about 11 and a half months or so.
Did you have any New Year's resolutions?
I don't believe in New Year's resolutions, unfortunately.
Is that like a religious thing? What do you mean you don't believe in
it? No. It's just a fucking ploy for people to set these lofty-ass goals and then fail at them and feel bad about themselves.
ploy by who? Like, Valentine's Day is like, you know, a ploy by Hallmark and
yeah,
the
whoever decided
Easter is clearly completely made up for Cadbury.
I guess it's kind of fucked up, but I'm gonna blame Dick Clark.
Dick Clark's fault,
just because he's always doing the New Year's show.
So they did not even have New Year's before Dick Clark was around.
Yeah, they didn't even have.
Didn't
it.
Even happen.
Yeah, it wasn't even a thing.
Yeah, well, he—if that's true—then he has a one-man show completely brought about New Year's and destroyed it with his own hand, because the last few years have made me sad watching the Dick Clark New Year's whatever.
Yeah, fuck it's hour. So bad that they've had to get Carson Daly to host a different network.
Yeah, I mean, it seriously makes me like tear up. Because how depressing it is on New Year's, everyone's celebrating, and this 173-year-old man
is doing his best.
Yeah, just like spray painted in all orange.
Yeah, his eyes work. He can still read.
I think that's the spray paint keeping him open.
Oh.
I'm not sure they work at all.
That makes sense. Well,
I don't even think he's actually alive. I think like that's the best they can get the robotic like voice thing to like manipulate
the jaw and rigor mortis,
set in corpse
yeah.
talk, you know? Because there's no way. There's no way. This was his 40th. If he has another one.
No, come on.
Can't, they have to retire.
Go out on an even number.
Yeah.
And that was one too many.
Yeah, you can just feel the sorrow and humiliation and insult in Sechrist's eyes every time they cut back to him.
That's how it's all coming together. It's like a conglomeration of the entire nation's sadness.
I mean, there's no fucking way I'm watching CNN, though. Kathy
Griffin. Did she still do it? I was curious if she still did it.
Yeah, she got topless or something this time.
Shut your mouth.
I don't know which.
And Anderson Cooper was like, I don't even like tits.
Yeah, I like men.
Yeah.
And you're completely hideous anyway. I don't know if she thinks she's beautiful or what she
I don't think so.
For.
I don't think she can.
I didn't even see it. I just saw like a screen grab of her doing it.
Oh.
You don't actually see her boobs, okay, but she was making. But yeah.
That's kind of
sounds that they actually figured out the only thing worse you could ever think of to be worse than dying Dick Clark hosting
is topless
Kathy Griffin.
Well,
wow. And then topless Kathy, here's your options for New Year's. Corpse Dick Clark, topless Kathy Griffin, or Carson Daly. I'm going to go with the corpse Dick Clark on this, actually. Yeah. That is the best choice out of those three.
Oh, that is just... You just got shat on Carson Daly.
How did Carson...
TRL well-deserved, was a long time
well-deserved, I'd
ago.
Say, too.
TRL
how does that
was
man
so
wake up in the morning and just like look at himself in the mirror and not even... take the razor and keep cutting?
What even... where did you come from? What person saw you and was like, man, you need to be like in front of the camera?
I don't know. He was a radio host either in Santa Cruz or LA or something before.
So he got it done
TV.
With his voice before they realized.
Which really is kind of his worst attribute. He's a tool. Is his show still on?
I don't think it can be.
Because
it was on NBC, and I think, like, I don't fucking know. Either way, Jimmy Fallon and all that stupid late night shit happened.
Oh, okay.
I think he got booted.
So.
Did you make any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, I got a couple. So does that mean I'm extra full of shit because I got more than one?
I don't think so. I think you can... If you are willing to make New Year's resolution, a New Year's resolution or New Year's resolutions, I don't think you can make however many you want.
Well, see, I've got two. And one's kind of personal. It's not worth talking about on the podcast. The other one is... to continue losing weight, which I really started that 2 years ago and completely failed New Year's ago to live up to that resolution.
Oh, okay.
So then it wasn't even my New Year's resolution last year, but somehow I managed to just get on board with it this year and make it happen. And so I feel like because I've already been, that's 2 years in the making, I can have more than one because it's kind of not really one, but it's probably the only one of the two that I'll actually live up to. That makes sense? No, it doesn't.
Okay. It makes sense.
Yeah. So, which is probably... Yeah, actually, that was another funny thing about... I don't know if you were paying attention with the Dick Clark thing. Every commercial during New Year's was for Weight Watchers.
Oh, nah.
Yeah, because they know Every fat ass in the country's New Year's resolution is to lose weight. And bam, right there. This is how you do it, Weight Watchers.
Well played.
Jennifer Hudson looking kind of too skinny now.
Oh, yeah? Really? Wow.
I don't know. She's like one of those people that looks more normal, bigger or something. And now she's like pretty skinny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is unfortunate.
I'd still put it to her.
But. See, I just feel I feel bad for like everybody who's making that resolution. And they're going to be really good about it for like a month or two.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to fall off because it's natural. I mean, it's
literally 99.9% of people won't do it.
So, and then they're going to feel like disappointed at themselves. They're going to feel let down because they didn't achieve their goal. Like,
And it's going to just make them even fatter.
Yeah. Then they're just going to get depressed and then they're just going to be like shoving Oreos
and Edies.
So, I think that New Year's resolutions would be okay if people set realistic goals for themselves. Not quite so lofty, and like it has to be a definitive thing, not just I want to lose weight, because that's like an open-ended, like, well, I lost 2 pounds, yay,
so but, I achieved my resolution.
Yeah,
isn't the real problem that in general the human race is just a bunch of fucking lazy assholes? I mean, why do you have to wait for some specific day that was completely arbitrarily made up in the first place by the human race
exactly.
to decide you're going to do one thing the entire year with your life positive?
That's a whole other thing.
You're going to be a total fuck up the rest of the year.
Exactly. That's the whole other thing about making resolutions, especially the weight one, is people are like, you know, it's December. It's like around Christmas time, the holidays. And they're like, oh, well, New Year's is coming up. I'm going to say that I'm going to lose weight. So I'm going to eat a shitload of food right now.
Oh, yeah. People totally
do that. And then you're like, well, you know, because it doesn't matter. There's no consequences because I'm just going to, like, get on top of it January 1st.
Yeah, no problem.
And then you're like, well, you have to lose an additional 15 pounds because you were just a fat fuck.
Yeah, and I just trained my mind for the last 2 months to eat whatever the fuck I want and be disgusting pig. But for some reason, January 1st, bam. But,
yeah, it's just
totally a different mindset. No problem.
Piece of cake. So...
not gonna have them.
I feel like it's legitimate to not support.
But are you saying people shouldn't even have them? Like, there's got to be. I feel like there should be a July 31st New Year's resolution or mid-year resolution, a quarterly resolution, monthly, because man, people just need a kick in the ass to do anything.
See, but like, I guess that's why the New Year's resolution sticks is because it. I mean, there's a clear time frame for it, and if you only set resolutions one time a year, like, maybe they'll mean more.
Hmm.
Whereas if you're setting, like, one per month, then you're just like, well, I got another one coming up, whatever. I don't even have to accomplish this one.
Do you think, like, people doing heinous crimes make New Year's resolutions to stop doing so?
I think that their New Year's resolution is probably score bigger.
On the heinous crime.
Like,
oh, do it bigger? Like,
yeah, like
rape and pillage more?
Yes.
This year?
Like rob a wealthier bank.
Oh, wow.
Or, like, you know, slit.
It's a very pessimistic view.
Yeah. I mean, it's not for them, right?
Because they're aspiring. You hope people want to be better.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
Not worse.
But they, I mean, if they were already fucked to begin with, they're aspiring to be even better at shitty things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a lose-lose for them, basically.
Hmm.
Don't get caught would be another resolution. That would.
But that resolution kind of makes it you think that you were fucking that up before, so you got something to change.
That's true.
So.
That's true. Don't get caught next time because I'm sitting in jail.
Speaking of getting caught, Dexter finale.
Oh, shit. Damn, see? We're coming back around. First show ever.
Oh, it's bound to happen.
Yeah.
First show ever we talked about that?
First show ever we talked about.
Yeah, 1 year anniversary.
Finale. So now we
can speak
to the Dexter season 6 finale. Or season in general as a whole.
Yeah. Fucking definitely better than season 5.
Yeah, kudos for that.
Season 5 was a struggle to find things to be excited about. This was not still nearly as good as season 4, but...
right.
Not nearly as difficult to find things you liked about it.
Yes.
Most Def was awesome.
Most Def is, in my opinion, the best part about the season. And maybe not even just Most Def himself, but the writing at that point and the exchanges between Dexter and Brother Sam were phenomenal, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, the writing was so good that they could just have 5-minute scenes of dialogue, you know, like meaningful dialogue, talking about faith and religion, and it was like way entertaining.
Right. To watch. And then in classic worst parts of Dexter fashion, they get rid of him halfway through the season.
Yeah, duh.
And basically his entire arc quickly goes completely down the toilet.
Yeah.
Like, and the whole like theme of him questioning his religion and wondering what it means, and him and his kid's life, and what it, if he's really like bound to be this way or he has a choice or any of this shit, like by the end, out the window. Yeah. Fucking dude's a terrorist now, and he's got to be killed. And no call, no problem making anonymous calls to the police with your cell phone.
Yeah, what? It's not traceable. Whatever. Yeah. The Homeland Security wouldn't even, you know, look for that at all.
Poke so many fucking holes.
I mean, yeah, there were definitely instances. I mean, I think it was pretty much like, you know, every third episode they would just do some fucking terrible shit. Like, yeah. Like that whole episode about the Tooth Fairy guy?
Oh, yeah.
Why did they even have that in there?
Yeah. That like, was like such a one-off.
Yeah, I would say make the season shorter and just trim the fat, because that was pointless.
Yeah, I think they were like, okay, well, should we do spoiler?
Spoiler alert.
This is the season. She's going to find out.
Yeah.
Now what the fuck are we going to do for the other 12 episodes?
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, yeah, it's kind of stupid. Colin also, Hanks. The one episode where he goes to Nebraska to, like, you know.
Yeah, get Trinity's son.
Yeah, confront him. Yeah, are you guys happen? Fucking serious? They realized midway through writing this season, oh, shit, here's what we should have done after season 4. Let's just do it all in one episode. Nice.
Yeah.
And he just becomes, like, this vigilante, like, gun-toting dude that, like, doesn't give a
fuck.
Oh, my
God,
he's
that
speeding.
Was the worst episode.
He's shooting at a billboard.
He fucks some chick.
Yeah,
in
like, randomly. You've got to be shitting me. Like, that was such a departure from the Dexter that was in every other episode of the season.
Yeah, and then they didn't even have the balls to keep it going. The whole arc happens in one episode.
Like, it would have been more... Yeah, it would have been more understandable had they continued with that through season's end. But the fact that they just, like... close the door on it.
Right.
Right then at the end of the episode.
Bring back his brother. Ice Truck Killer's back. He fucking ditches Harry. He's fucking chicks, shooting signs. Within this one episode, Harry's back with him. Ice Truck Killer's gone.
Just
ludicrous. He's killed a guy that seems like in some way would be eventually traceable, given that Deb eventually finds out that he went out there.
Right.
There's a dude dead. I don't know.
He checked into that hotel. There's probably some sort of paperwork that he has no idea about. He rented a car.
Yeah, I mean, man. Jesus. Massive just fucking Swiss cheese holes in the season.
All right, so anyways, so then we go
about the...
Colin Hanks and
Edward, whatever. Yeah, man, by the end, again, you forget. Edward James almost just disappears too. Like once he's dead, like I think he sees him in a dream once or twice, or you know, like in a daydream or whatever. But I don't know, man. That I feel like that reveal of that he's really been alone the whole time, and Edward James almost was dead the whole time, could have been like handled so much craftier by a better filmmaker. Instead, it just like he opens the thing, he's like, oh shit. There's no like sixth sense moment where it brings it all together, like some kind of like recap of like how it's possible and re-shows you scenes from like a different angle where here's how, remember he really never said anything to him or really never saw him. It just kind of happens and then you're expected to just move on. And then all of a sudden, Colin Hanks is a total bamf for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
he's been this like quiet ass pussy. Like, finally whatever character, and now he's just...
lit it on fire.
A motherfucker. And I don't know, man. He looks so much like his dad, I can't even take it sometimes. I mean, it's fine, Tom Hanks is awesome, but, like, fucked up serial killer? Come on.
Yeah, and it's also, it was unbelievable because, you know, the previous episodes before Dexter realizes that it's actually, like, totally Colin Hanks, he was... You were supposed to understand about his character that he was wishy-washy on the whole thing to begin with.
Right.
And you never saw, like, the side of him that he was way into it until, like, you know, like, Geller was in the freezer.
Yeah.
But also, the easiest way for them to, like, mask that whole thing was just to say, oh, well, he's a paranoid schizophrenic. So, like, you know, he flips the switch.
Nothing counts.
Yeah. So you're just meant to believe that, like, the rest of the season when you thought he was, like, on the fence about it, then, like, they actually did the murders and whatever.
I think we made the same point last time, is that the show's problem is it establishes no boundaries in the world that it has. Anything can – I mean, Dexter was fucking MacGyver by the end with the boat scene.
Oh. Yeah. Jesus. Come on. Yeah, of course.
It was classic MacGyver, too. He's like, oh, my God, gotta get it. It felt like you might as well cut to, like, a shot of MacGyver with the clock, or MacGruber, even.
Yeah.
Clock counting down. Oh, my God, MacGruber, what are we going to do? And he's, like, scrambling to get his hands out of this rope, and then the whole thing explodes. And, of course, somehow he completely got out of it and is swimming for, like, 500 yards underwater. Yeah. Plus, Dexter has a little-ass boat. His little boat isn't going to have another, like, small dinghy on it.
Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. I mean, that's the least of the show. All right, we should move to the big story.
Spoiler alert, though we've already fucked some things up for you if you haven't seen it yet.
Turn it off now.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it.
Why the fuck didn't they do... Why didn't they do this last season? That's what I have to say.
Yeah.
They need to wrap did the exact up. Same scenario twice.
Wrap it up, B.
But also, I mean, okay, so Deb sees Dexter murder Travis in the end. Why not do it last season? And the fucking love shit.
Oh, my God. That's what I was waiting for you to talk about. Okay. I've been waiting for now 5-6 years or whatever it's been for this moment to happen, for Deb to find out. I mean, it's just been like you were hoping what happened last season. And when it doesn't, it was painful, but okay. It's the defining moment that still is left to have happen in Dexter at all. And it finally happens, and they managed again to find the worst fucking context to put it in. That somehow Deb, who has had no relationship of any meaning with Dexter the entire series, is now fucking in love with him and wants to tell him.
It's garbage.
Those scenes where she was uncomfortably looking at him in meetings and stuff would make me want to throw up in my throat a little bit.
Her looking uncomfortably at him made me, like, uncomfortably, like,
why is this
go
happening?
Under the covers.
Why?
Because
maybe you want to turn the channel, which is the opposite intention. How could they sit around and be like, you know what would really fuck people up? Is if brother and sister, I don't know where, got together. I know that doesn't make any sense, but just go with me on this. It's going to totally blow people's minds when we do something completely out of character, unmotivated, and completely unreasonable for these two characters to do.
Yeah, I don't even care that he is adopted, that they're not actually blood
relation.
Yeah,
that doesn't even matter.
Fuck.
Their relationship for 5 years is what matters.
And why would she even, why would she even, like, have developed these feelings? He treats her like garbage.
Right. He's completely emotionally unavailable.
He's never there, you know?
Basically been almost the death of her multiple times.
I think he's...
killed her when his brother was around.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so that was just... God damn it.
And you know, in Dexter's just gotten so disappointing in certain ways now that I have complete faith that they will fuck this up, too, the reveal. And somehow, the first episode next season... She'll trip over a nail or something and hit her head and have 3 days worth of amnesia.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
And somehow get out of it.
That would be amazing.
Or somehow he'll be able to convince her that this was just a revenge kill because he had captured Harrison.
Yeah.
Or just he'll get out of it, and it'll be like all that buildup was for fucking nothing.
There actually is, like, several ways for them to run with what's happened, but I don't think any of them are tight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that the reason they had Deb fall in love with her is because, A, they think their audience is a bunch of fucktards, and they needed something like that to grasp where I think they might go with it next season, in that Deb will be conflicted. on what to do right. about it. Yeah, so yeah. the whole season will go by, and she, you know, doesn't just obviously shoot him right there on the spot or turn him in or anything like that. I don't think she needed to be like fucking intimately in love with him for to have that conflict. Just being the sister she was would have been fine for me, for her not to just like blow yeah. him away right there, and I would have felt like that was
yeah, yeah.
totally motivated.
But also, like, she has to put the pieces together, seeing this. He can't just say, this was a one-off time. Like, this is my first murder. Fuck that. He's wearing, like, an apron, and he's got a bunch of plastic sheet, and he's got this knife set and all this shit. She's got to put the pieces together, say, this motherfucker's the Bay Harbor yeah, Butcher.
I've seen this like, before.
Yeah, this guy has gotten away with a lot of fucking murders.
Yeah, he basically killed Dokes.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, several things have to... She has to realize
they're not gonna do it. It's not gonna click.
Yeah, they better not go the route of like her saying, "Oh my God, you're a murderer. How can I love you?" And then Dexter picking up on that and being like, "Well, I love you too." And then she's like, "Oh, well, I'm not gonna turn you in because we can just be in love together."
Yeah, and then they're gonna be a super crime fighting duo.
Yeah,
where she basically, you know, finds the cases. I just can't crack this one. I know he's guilty, but I got nothing on him. And Dexter's like, I'll take care of it. And yeah,
it's just,
I'm telling you, one of these bad scenarios we have just concocted is what it's gonna be.
Yeah, it definitely. The writers are probably listening to us, being like, shit, what do we do next season?
They nailed us.
Yeah, damn it, they thought of everything.
And then you hire us, and you guys take a fucking holiday.
And then we'll make
to Monaco.
It cheesy as shit.
No, that's the problem with it now, is it is cheesy as shit. Anywho, that's enough talk about that shit.
Yeah.
What else? Something.
Something. I hope this is working. We should probably stop.
Yeah, all right.
Just because we don't even want to listen to ourselves.
Well, our inaugural episode was better than I thought it would be.
Re-inaugural episode? What is, I don't know, what's the word for that?
Inaugural dose?
Yeah. It was better? It was better than you thought? We had some randomness in there that I liked.
Yeah, it started off slow.
Yeah.
But that's to be expected. Go figure. You got to get comfortable
in
your own skin. It's kind of hard saying things again we already know about each other to a metal object I'm holding in my hand.
Yeah. Well, that's true because I remembered what
you did.
You
already know this shit. Why do I got to say it again?
Yeah. I remembered what you did and you remembered what I did.
Right.
Neither one of us knew what we ourselves did.
So maybe we should both break off and start our own shows where we have people that don't give a fuck about us as our partners.
Okay.
So when we have...
So then, yeah, you can be like, hey, guess what I did?
Yeah. And they're like, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we
like
stay with it,
does now.
Exactly. But if we stay with it, then it will be like, hey, guess what I did this week?
And I'll be like, oh shit.
Yeah. And then it'll be new.
That was stupid.
And then it'll be, yeah, that was, you're probably wanted by the authorities.
Talk to me about this beforehand.
Yeah. Fuck.
All right. So, this year we're going to have some great guests lined up. Our producers are working hard
mm-hmm.
to bring you some.
Pretty production value is getting up there now. So you guys should be excited to hear that stuff. As always, available on iTunes and
if we bother to pay for another account.
Yep. And everything else. It's available everywhere, basically. You can buy it in stores.
Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. Circuit City. So
yeah.
This concludes this episode.
Good, because I need to get back to some pirate booty.
I need to get back to some real booty.